So first things first, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Not bad.
It's good to hear. Now, where I want to start is you did an interview with us. I think it was back in 2006, and you talked about the misuse of technology. And I mean, that's already some time ago. And then could even you predict where all has gone in terms of technology and how we utilize it?
I'm just an observer. I don't think anybody could have predicted. I mean, isn't it like one of the, in terms of all the different, the different ages and the different eras that we've gone through, it's just been the most rapid kind of mind-blowing, hyper speed. I mean, it's especially, I consider myself a pretty simple-minded individual, so for someone like me, it's just it's hard to grasp. All you can do is just sort of like sit back on the sidelines and just sort of shake your head in disbelief and use it for I don't know. I think my saving grace is that I don't see it as like this. I don't see it as a big savior or an end all to anything. It's just another tool, for more enlightenment and more just problem solving. So so obviously people are going to abuse it and
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting what happens with AI and all of that. But you mentioned kind of using it as a tool. So have you over the years, when it comes to either producing music or anything, has your relationship with technology changed over the years?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like I'm really fortunate to have been able to experience just enough of the analog world. And that's, I mean, I say that not even, specifically with music. It's just, with books and movies and it's, I get the opportunity to kind of look in I have access to kids, teenagers at this point, from friends and from my own situation that I'm in, and it's becoming a little disturbing to me how sort of hands off they are as far as reading and drawing and just like things that you can working with your hands and I don't know. For me, it was I love the idea of I loved the idea and still love the idea of a kind of a hybrid setup, where I'm using a lot of the ideals and a lot of the hands-on, elements of playing instruments and kind of getting your hands dirty with equipment. But then also, I love editing. I love the digital realm too. I can spend, my body actually won't even it starts to give out before my brain does. I actually love sitting for, and doing extensive editing, but at some point I just become too stiff. I just, my ears start giving out on me. My eyes start, getting really fatigued. But I love, I was pretty excited to embrace the digital, the newness of the digital and the kind of the old, more traditional aspects of analog and songwriting and recording and stuff.
You mentioned the editing, and what I find interesting, am I right in saying that this is kind of what got you going when you were a kid, where you started editing and recording songs just on tapes and just trying to make something by recording and editing all those songs?
I remember being really fascinated by, so it wasn't just songs, but it was, I remember being really kind of perplexed by why production and why certain decisions having been made can affect the feel of a song. And then I became not so content with just sitting and listening to it. Like I wanted to, and it's weird. I know people who are like this with mechanical things. They want to take things apart and see how they work. And it's like, I've never really been like that with electronics and stuff. Like I kind of just want the thing to work and I just want to use it as a tool. But I was always like that with music. Like I was just like, what, why, like, why is it doing this to me? And then I would trace it back to certain sounds that got introduced into certain moments in a song. And then, you know, and then I became interested in, you know, trying that myself. And then, you know, it started very modestly, you know, with the modest amount of gear that I had assembled. And I would, you know, once I decided to start making songs and making recordings, like I was just as interested in the production side of it as I was the songwriting side of it. So I was kind of learning too simultaneously at the same time. And I didn't really see it as extra work because I feel like the two things really complement each other, like very much. Like you can have a certain song that's saying a certain something, and man, if you add the right elements to it, it could just like take it to this whole other next level that you could never have imagined if you hadn't had production in mind as well.
Is your vision, and especially as you've gotten older and more experienced in what you do, has your vision always been very clear of what you wanted to make, or was it always like this blurry picture that you had to move closer to and closer to, kind of incrementally?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'll have a pretty clear, you know, almost like, you know, almost like the song doesn't exist yet, but you have a trailer for it.
Sure.
And you're like, there it is. And so it's like the quest becomes sort of expanding that trailer and expounding, you know, and just, and then sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just a sentiment. Sometimes you just have one line and you're just like, all right, well, what kind of music would go good with the feeling behind this line? And so you're trying to kind of bolster this, you know, and I, that's something that I've gotten a lot out of country music. They used to, country music was really good about like the song title would just be like this one line. And that says everything. You're just like, oh my God, that's such a great line. It's probably something that somebody heard in a bar or overheard, you know, somebody talking, and he just like jotted it down on a drink napkin. And you build a whole song around that. And then it just becomes, you know, what instrumentation is going to support that? And it's, so that ends up being kind of a fun exercise when you're just building the thing out of nothing, but you do have this clear, you know, you do have this one phrase perhaps, or like this one line that says a lot and just the line itself. And then you just build this whole thing around it. That's cool too.
And then I'm not sure if you have these kinds of ideas about a whole album, but was there a quote unquote trailer for what Blue Wave would become? Did you have anything in mind? Because you mentioned country. What was that kind of the trigger for you in terms of this album?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely, I had kind of, and I can't say I've ever done this before, probably ever. It's just like I'd sort of envisioned like I know that this almost sounds a little uppity, but like I'd kind of imagine like this new genre. But it's also one of those things where, you know, you, like I thought I heard something in a piece of music. So that sent me on this quest to find all this other types of music that fell under the category of that music that I thought I heard, and I couldn't find it. So I was just like, fuck it, I'm just going to make it myself, you know? Which is great, you know, total, you know, DIY approach, but I literally couldn't, I tried finding in other versions of what I thought I heard in my head by hearing the song on the radio, and I couldn't. So I was just like, that kind of set me on this path of just doing it myself. And when I was working throughout the course of working on the album, I just had guidelines for myself. You know, I was just like, I knew what the instrumentation should be. So that was like, that kind of put me in a certain, you know, I had certain parameters to work with there. But then I was also, you know, I kept telling myself, keep it sweet, you know, and keep the lyrics light, you know, not, you know, don't sound like you're trying to get all intellectual and, you know, wordy gymnastics, you know, keep it real simple, keep it light and keep it sweet. And with the time signatures that I had in mind too, which mostly were waltzes, slower, kind of like waltzing time signatures. I mean, just if I was just working with those parameters alone, and that's already going to put myself, it's going to put me somewhere, you know, with the instrumentation. I knew it was going to be heavy with pedal steel, and I knew it was going to be lots of synthesizer, like dense kind of pads. So I was just like, all right, we'll start off with that and then just see where that brings us and then just kind of go from there.
Just very quickly before we go into it a little bit more deeper, when you start a project like this, and you kind of, as you mentioned, all the elements that come into play, and is it a very, how should I describe it? Are you looking forward to the process? Because as you mentioned, you do a lot or practically everything yourself, and looking forward to that task in a sense. Do you look forward to it? Is it something arduous that you have to go through to get to the end result? How do you see that process?
I mean, I definitely don't look forward to it all the time. There's I have to, because I do it the way I do it, I have to become a taskmaster, and I have to kind of lay out what my working plan is going to be. Some tasks are funner than others. Some of them are just, you know, not fun at all. Like comping vocals, especially if, you know, if there's a song that has like lots and lots of vocals on it. You know, and when I'm saying comping vocals, I'm also editing vocals. It's like removing all the artifact and the harshness and just getting things to kind of, you know, exist smoothly. It's like it's an unsung task of making things sound effortless, like especially in the digital realm. It's like you work really hard by making things sound like they didn't, like they just sort of like came together like really easily,
right.
Which is a weird paradox. But then I think the funner days, the funner tasks is when a song is right on the edge of working, but it just needs, it needs more layering. It needs more things just kind of being gooped upon it. And I don't quite know what this, you know, what the, a lot of times, I don't know. I like adding lots of synths and I take a lot of care in layering them in such a way to where it doesn't sound like there's much happening, but there's probably like, you know, there can be five or six different ones happening and they're all filling little spaces. You know, it's not just like one pad that just has like this, you know, that is taking care of all the frequencies across the spectrum. It's like, I'm usually kind of adding them all in, and it's, the thing that's interesting to me is, especially when you're working on songs in earlier stages, is that like the lazy part of me always wants to say, all right, we're done. Great. Okay. We're done. Like, and why, like, I don't even know why that exists. Like I'm not looking forward to adding more and more shit, but I just want the thing done. There's something about, and then I'll add more stuff and then I'll just go, oh my God, I can't believe I thought this was going to be done because I just added this one other little thing and now it's so much better. And so, but then that also begs to question, you know, it's just like, this could go on forever. So sure. It does become a game at kind of knowing when, when enough is enough. And there's, I mean, that's just sort of like, nobody knows the answer to that. And that's
it's
actually
more of a gut feeling, right?
It's a big debatable subject in the recording world. It's just when to say when, especially with mixing. But yeah, it's definitely a gut thing overall. And at some point, it's just, you know, you just have to, you know what? I'm done. This is just, let's just walk.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit nonsensical. We have to, finish something, because otherwise you can't get to the next thing that you want to do as well.
Yeah.
If you just keep.
And it's also, I mean, that is probably where I'm a bit grateful, you know, that I don't have a multitude of people that I'm working with. I would imagine situations like that where everyone's trying to get theirs and everyone's trying to, like, I mean, it's tough enough just obsessing over something yourself, but sure. Then if I had to bring in like two or three other people who are doing that same level of obsessing and also just like wanting to get those extra next little things in, and things aren't, I feel like I'm at least with me working myself or by myself on my own music, like I'm, there's one person who's serving one song. And that adds a bit of clarity, and there's no ego, there's no nothing. It's just like I need to make the song exactly what the song wants to be, and that is probably a much less cluttered form of working than I would imagine, you know, a multitude of people with a multitude of different intentions and a multitude of egos and you know, not quite knowing, you know, why these new suggestions are coming in, or if this is even about serving the song. And
right. You mentioned all the layering that you do, and on this album, the pedal steel features quite prominently. How familiar were you with playing pedal steel?
Oh God, I didn't play it. I'm so intimidated and like so in awe of that instrument. I knew if I was going to do, you know, the sound of the pedal steel, I knew if I was going to do that any justice, then somebody who knew what they were doing was going to have to play it. So I did, through a friend of mine, I got turned on to this fellow by the name of Max Hart. And I guess he had played on, I don't know, he's an engineer, he's a producer, he's a composer himself. He plays piano and Hammond B3 organ, but he also happens to play the pedal steel. And I met him and got along great with him, and we spent a whole day in a studio here doing about, well, we did a couple of tracks remotely, and then I realized I feel like they went good, but I feel like in order to really make the best connection, we needed to be in a room together. I needed to have discussions about the songs and just like a lot of, you know, quick communication back and forth. And that was like the best decision I could have made. We got a lot of work done in one day, and it was pretty effortless. And
That's great to hear. Now, the last thing I kind of want to delve into is the thematic side of the album. You mentioned you wanted to keep the songs light. Were there certain things that you even beforehand knew you wanted to say on this album, or how did you kind of navigate the lyrics or the thematic elements of this album?
Well, you know, I remember when I first decided to settle in and start finding out what the material of this album was going to be. I was basically just going through phone songs. I was trying to find the most, well, I mean, first thing I was doing was seeing what waltzes I had accumulated. For some reason, you know, 3/4 and 6/8 is like a really natural kind of time signature for me. It's a nice, it's just, you know, sitting around the house, just, you know, kind of goofing off. It's so over the years, I have a lot of 3/4 and 6/8 time signatures that exist. So I was looking for kind of like the prettiest, like the nicest sounding chord combinations. And if I was lucky, you know, some like sweet melodies that existed over those as well. So I was just trying to accumulate as many of those as I could. And then once I realized that I had a halfway decent, like I was going for like memorable melodies and nice sounding chords. So, and even the songs that weren't waltzes, you know, I was just, it was more about kind of like rich chord sequences and memorable melodies. And then just trying to simplify those as much as I could with that instrumentation that I was talking about, you know, just enough bluegrassy sounding stuff and just a kind of dense synthesizer. But, you know, in order for it to work, you know, I kind of have like this weird, there's the rebellious streak in me. If something is sounding too country, then I'll try to like modernize it a bit, either with the instrumentation or with the lyrical content. And if something is sounding too kind of sappy, maybe I'll try to lighten it up with, you know, some more lighthearted, like I just try not to kind of fall into the obvious approach, I think, with a lot of things. But and that's just, you know, that is like the art part. That's like the you know, countering this with that and the compositional thing. Because I think at the end of the day, I'm always trying to achieve some sort of balance. It just so happens that majority of the lyrics, and it was probably based on the music that I chose, a majority of the words and the lyrics was just kind of just like, I don't know. It's just like shitty relationship stuff that didn't work out, kind of. Which I would hate to think that that's just like this easy default mode for me to go into. But I don't know. I don't even know if that's what the album's all about.
It's interesting that you say that, because when I listen to the album, and if you... It feels very warm in a sense. So it doesn't feel like it's about, relationships that didn't work out.
It's just reflection. You know, there's something about the feeling of reflection, and maybe, and reflection, even reflecting on something sad can mean that, you know, you look back on something and maybe it's the way you handled yourself, and maybe you didn't always handle yourself well throughout a trying period, but maybe you did. Maybe you did the right thing, and you feel better about yourself. And even that can have a sound, you know, of just being, sure, being at peace, you know, with certain decisions that you've made. You know, that can have a sound. I think I definitely do a lot of reflecting. I'm definitely a very nostalgic person.
Okay.
That even starts to, you know, I could imagine what the sound of that sounds like.
Well, I have one last question before I let you go then, because you mentioned you're quite a nostalgic person, and in that interview of about 17 years ago that you did with us, you also went through the albums that you've made up until that point. You were actually quite critical, if I remember correctly, about some of the music that you made. And now, sure, over time, because you did the reissues and the piano edition of Software Slump, you went through, it was quite a couple of years of reminiscing, I suppose, about the music that you've made.
Plenty of reminiscing.
Has your view of some of those albums or some of the music that you've made changed over the years?
I guess I would have to have a very specific or deliberate thing that I thought about them to begin with, in order for them to change. I've always been confused about, you know, I'll get done making something and I don't know what I made. Like, I'm just like, all right. And that's very frustrating, because you would almost, like, if you could have a dream about the best version of being a songwriter or a producer or engineer, I mean, it wouldn't be that. It would be like, I'm making this thing and it's so awesome, and this is what it sounds like, and I've accomplished my goal. Hell yeah, life is great, you know. But I usually get done, I'm just like, well, okay, I'm done. I don't know what I made. If I'm checking boxes, like, my main objective is to make sure that it's going to be something that I can be proud of, or something I'm not going to be embarrassed by. In my earliest recordings, you know, I can't say that. And perhaps that's where I learned that. I'm just like, all right, from this day on, you know, I'm going to quit making an ass of myself and start making things that I can stand behind and be proud of. So at this point, that's definitely, I think I've done a pretty good job with my catalog and my, you know, what the world knows of as Granddaddy at this point. So there's no reason to start fucking it up right now. I may as well, you know, stay on this path and just keep making stuff that I can be proud of, you know, 5-10 years down the road.
So you see this, because that was kind of, you see yourself making records basically till the wheels fall off.
Yes, and I've contemplated, well, I mean, and that
and
might
not necessarily releasing them, but even if it's just for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I still get that wide-eyed kind of naive excitement that comes along with recording, playing. You record something and you play it back, and it's just like, that's never going to go away. It's kind of, you get a little high from it, and it's especially once you start, you know, stacking all those instruments together and start creating this thing that you could not have imagined. I think there's worse ways of spending your downtime.
Jason, may I thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for accommodating me.